genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the Internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme. Before we get to today's theme, however, I do have two shout-outs. Big shout-out to Tony in Newberry Park, who is listening, and Chip up in Santa Barbara. Both of them are listening for our first guest today, so hang in there. We'll get right to her. As I said, every show has a theme, and today's theme is business, business, business. Each of my guests will be talking about aspects of business that they're involved in. My first guest is the co-anchor of CNBC's The Call. She's the former energy reporter for the network. Before that, she was a childhood actor. We'll discuss her life in the media and how she transitioned from child star to business reporter. My second guest is a successful businessman and consultant. He helps individuals and companies create unparalleled success. He's the master of workarounds that keep you moving forward in both work and in life. We'll discuss his latest book, Workarounds That Work. My third guest will helps keep companies develop a service culture, and he's been doing that for the last 28 years. He shows firms how to crush the competition through customer service. We'll discuss the decline of customer service in this country and what we can do about it from his latest book titled Empowerment, A Way of Life. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Melissa Francis, is, as I said, the co-anchor of The Call on CNBC. Previously, she was the energy reporter for CNBC, covering such issues as oil and gas pricing, supply and demand, and large corporations behind the issues. Before joining NBC, Melissa was a correspondent for CNET, where she covered finance, technology, and consumer products. Previous to that, Melissa worked in television all across the Northeast, Hartford, Connecticut, Edison, New Jersey, Providence, Rhode Island, Portland, Maine, Manchester, all of the cold areas in the Northeast up there. Melissa earned her Bachelor's of Arts degree in economics from Harvard University, where she also served as the executive editor of the Harvard College Economist magazine. She was the captain of the Harvard polo team as well. If time permits, we'll ask her about that. Prior to becoming a business reporter, however, Melissa was a child actor. She's appeared in nearly 100 commercials, including a Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo commercial, which she starred in at 6 months old. She's best known for her role as Cassandra Cooper Ingalls in Little House on the Prairie. She also had several other television appearances during the 1980s, most notably Saint Elsewhere. She is supposedly the inspiration for the fictional character Avery Jessup on the show 30 Rock, which airs on NBC. Welcome to the show, Melissa. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm very good.
Well, isn't it kind of interesting to hear your whole life summarized in just a few sentences like that?
You know, it is. It's a little overwhelming. I was laughing at a number of things that you said, but I can't wait to get started.
All right. Well, let's dive into it. And actually, I want to start with topical stuff, news at the top of the day here. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline, which delivers 15% of the crude oil here to the United States, has been closed down for the last 4 days because of a leak in pumping station number one. You covered energy for CNBC. I want to get some impressions from you. The Alaska Pipe Company, which operates the pipeline, estimates that doesn't know when the operations are going to restart there. The pipeline, as I said, carries 15% of the oil, in particular, much of the oil that's headed here to California refineries. What does all of this shutdown and the lack of delivery of that oil for the last 4 days mean to the price of oil? We're not really seeing it reflected, even though price of oil is up around $90 a barrel today.
Oh, that's misleading. It's really misleading. I mean, what the price is telling you right now is that there's been a lot of slack in the market, that, you know, the market it got a little bit overbought. And, you know, there's a lot of supply out there, and that's why we didn't see a big pop-up. But it's a much bigger problem than the market is leading you to believe. You know, I mean, first of all, it shows you about the deterioration of this pipeline. We have a reporter, Scott Cohn from CNBC, who's right up in Alaska right now. And he's looking firsthand in the pipeline and sees that, you know, there's a lot of wax buildup in there. There's a lot of depletion of the actual resource up there. We're seeing less and less oil come down from Alaska right now. And it really tells us of a bigger problem to come in the short term. You know, we've really seen prices firm up at about 90 bucks a barrel. And when I was talking to traders today, you know, they were telling me that there's been a fundamental shift in the market while this pipeline has been shut down, that a lot of the big money hedge funds who had gotten out, you know, in the past week or so when we saw that high, who had gotten out, are getting back in. That, you know, they're getting back in for the long term, that the market has really tightened up, and that they think this is the beginning of the run past 100. We've also seen Brent oil, which is the oil that sells over in London, race ahead as well, sort of leading this charge higher. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a move up from here, and we look back on this, and we say that that leak in the pipeline is really what spurred us up over the $100 mark.
Well, it will be interesting to follow it, because there were a number of pundits last year who said that the price of oil was going to go over $200 a barrel. Of course, they were very nebulous about when that was
right.
going to happen.
Yeah, everybody will tell you it'll go over $200 at some point. It's the question is to get them to narrow down the time horizon.
Precisely. And so maybe this is all coming to fruition right now. Do you really see that price of crude oil popping over, say, $150 a barrel simply because of the shutdown of the Alaska
pipeline? No. I mean, not because of the shutdown, and I don't think we go past 150 anytime soon. I do think we go up over 100. I mean, I think what we're really going to see here is the collision of both investment and the fundamentals returning to the market. I mean, as we see economies around the world recover right now, what really makes sense is for the price of oil to go up as more consumers, you know, get back out on the road, buy more cars, do more things. As we see, you know, more manufacturing around the world, as the economy recovers, it makes sense for energy to be in higher demand and for the price of it to naturally go higher. And that's what we're seeing around the world. So the fundamentals support it. And the market, you know, of course, does not always pay attention to only fundamentals. In a lot of ways, it's a betting parlor at times, you know, and we see traders out there on the floor making bets. And that's what we're seeing right now, too, is a return to the bet in crude oil as well. So we could see all those things come back together at once and crude oil push higher. I think 150 is a little ways off, though.
All right. We're talking to Melissa Francis, everybody, co-anchor of The Call on CNBC, also former energy reporter for that same network. The reason that I had you on the show, though, Melissa, is because you've had such an interesting past. I mean, you are definitely, of all the CNBC anchors that are out there, you have the most colorful background. You were a childhood star in both television and in commercials. So I want to ask you, how did you get involved in television, in commercials at such a young age? And then the more important question is, how did you make this transition into business news reporting?
Oh, goodness. Well, you guys are from Southern California, so you know that, you know, it's really a one-industry town. When you grow up in L.A. or anywhere around L.A., and I'm from the Valley, the Valley girl, you know, that it's sort of everybody ends up in show business in one way or another. If you're a painter, you end up doing sets, you know, if you're a hairdresser. So, you know, we just sort of fell into it, and I guess I would say now that I have children of my own, I think this, what makes me laugh and the thing that I think made me excel was that I think I was cooperative and easily bribed. I would you know, go along and sort of do what was asked of me and cooperate on the set, knowing that, you know, I had already negotiated what the payoff was going to be when we left. And, you know, I see now that I have kids of my own that they, although they can be bribed, I mean, that's always a good possibility. It's not as clear cut as it was with me. So that's I think probably what made me successful.
Well, now you were on the show, you were on Little House on the Prairie, and you were on at such a young age, you probably don't remember it. But
I remember it really well. I was 8, 9, and 10 years old, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, we had a great time. I mean, it was a really fun show to be on because there were a ton of kids on the set, and so we had a lot of fun playing. Michael Landon was really fun, really great with kids, and he always made it a blast. You know, he always took time out to do things with the kids, and you know, it was a really great set to be on, especially because by the time I joined the show, towards the end, you know, they had already had kids on for so long, they were really set up for it. You know, they had a school room, and everybody was accustomed to it, and to keeping kids happy and well bribed, as I mentioned. So, you know, I do remember it well, and I have really fond memories of that. In fact, you know, when I hear kids talking about oh, you know, how they worked in show business and you know, it was so difficult and they hated it and they were forced to do this and that. You know, I always kind of wonder what shows they were working on and what they were doing, because I honestly only have really positive memories of having, you know, a lot of fun and doing these things. I remember one time in particular I did, I think it was a Kmart commercial, and, you know, they let me bring my best friend to the set, and, you know, we just went around the store. You know, it was closed, and we were going hog wild, playing with everything, doing whatever you wanted, you know, before they got ready to shoot the commercial. If you can imagine, you know, such a fun thing. I did many, many McDonald's commercials, I think maybe 6 or 7, and you know, downtown L.A., they have a, in Hollywood, they have a fake McDonald's that you don't even really notice when you're driving around, and, you know, you go in and you shoot the commercials there, and you go behind the counter, you know, you do whatever you want, and all of these things are really fun memories for me, so.
Well, it sounds like it. I mean, you have the energy. We're talking to Melissa Francis from CNBC, everybody. Clearly, you've got the energy behind it and so forth. I want to ask you, though, kind of a probing question, because when I went to do the research on you, and I looked on your official bio, and I put official in quotes, you really don't mention or you play down the fact that you were a television and commercial star. Why is that?
Well, you know, I was a kid. You know, that was another lifetime ago. That was a whole other career. You know, I mean, that was something that I did the whole time that I was growing up, you know, from my earliest memories, you know, through elementary school and even into high school. And then, you know, I think when I got into high school, I started to think about, you know, where did I really want to go to college? You know, what did I want to do? I chose to go far away to college so that I, you know, really wouldn't have the opportunity to go on auditions and even think about being in the business while I was at school. And I figured while I was away, I would either really miss it and want to come back and do it, or I wouldn't miss it and I would discover something else that I wanted to do. And the latter is actually what happened.
I see. All right. Well, you went away to Harvard, obviously got a great education there at Harvard, and then decided to make this transition in the business reporting. And interestingly enough, interesting to me because I remember him very well on NBC's Nightly News, you were mentored by Mike Jensen. So tell
us
about that transition and how did that all happen? What influence did he have on your life that eventually landed you at the anchor desk at CNBC?
You know what's so funny is, so I was an economics major, and first I was a Today Show intern, and I would always, you know, they challenge the interns to pitch stories. You know, what would you want to do? What would you want to cover? And I would always pitch business stories, and you know, they would kind of roll their eyes and say, you know, if you're really interested in this, you should go work for CNBC because that is, you know, where they're doing all these stories, and kind of no one is interested in this. So if this is what tickles your fancy, you ought to go do it. And you know, so that kind of got the ball rolling, and they introduced me to Mike Jensen, and he had never had an intern before, and I sort of pitched myself to him and said, you know, what do you think? I'm really sincerely interested in business news and business reporting, and, you know, I think this is what I really want to do. And he said, sure, you know, come for the summer, be my intern. I haven't had one, but if you come and help me and do some good, you know. And so I came in, and he was fantastic. I mean, he really taught me the whole business, and we worked really hard, and I learned the ins and outs. And he was the, you know, the first business reporter that I worked closely with who taught me the trade. And he was a fantastic mentor and teacher. And I was just absolutely hooked from there. And I always wanted to work for CNBC. And, you know, at the end of that internship, he said, you know, what you need to do is go out in the field to the smallest station that you can find and learn to be on air. You have the business knowledge, the economics knowledge, so go out and learn to be on air, and then work your way back to New York and, you know, try and make your way to CNBC. So the first job I got hired at was in Portland, Maine. I remember I was making $6.50 an hour. I think I failed to tell my parents that at the time because I was the only Harvard graduate moving to Portland, Maine at all. And I was the only Harvard graduate making minimum wage at the time. I had worked as the tech support person like during my senior year to save up money to sort of cushion the blow of being off on my own, making nothing. And I helped produce the show, and I mainly ripped scripts and did all the grunt work, cut tape, you know, that scene from Broadcast News where the woman goes flying down the stairs with the tape trying to get it in time. Well, that's pretty much what I did at my first job in news in Maine. And, you know, I kind of worked my way up from there. I got on the air in New Hampshire, got fired from that job right away, and probably deservedly so. I was pretty bad. But, you know, that didn't slow me down. I got hired right after that in Providence. I just kind of worked my way up learning the trade and getting better until I got to CNBC, and I absolutely love it here. It's fantastic.
Well, it sounds it. I can hear the energy in your voice. We're talking to Melissa Francis, everybody, co-anchor of The Call on CNBC, and really very interesting how you landed there. Now, in addition to doing the co-anchoring on the Call, you've also done some special reports. And again, as I was doing the research for this, I was looking through it, and I noticed that all of your special reports, or at least the majority of them, have to do with illicit or illegal business. And so I got to ask you, is this sort of a setup? Are they setting you up? Are you going to become like the official illegal business reporter for CNBC?
Oh, no, I just love ratings. And the funny thing about sizzling, sensational stuff is that people want to watch it.
There you go.
The serious answer, too, is that, you know, we do serious stuff all day long and the markets and companies. And, you know, so it's fun at night to get the opportunity to look at a different business that is a business but is not necessarily market-related. I'm working on a terrific special in time for Valentine's Day, which is called Divorce Wars. And, you know, it's really all the dirty tricks that, you know, couples go through when they're divorcing, how to battle back. And you know, what I found most interesting about it that is very different from our daytime is it was fascinating to see, you know, where does that switch happen in people when, you know, you have this powerful couple who, you know, has kids, has lived a life together, has built tremendous wealth, you know, and they've been partners across the breakfast table for 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, suddenly they're bitter enemies and they're fighting to the death.
Oh.
And so
did you find
really
the answer for your report?
That transformation, that relationship, you know, and then the finances behind it and the legality behind it and how all these things happen. And I found a lot of things that I didn't know about, a lot of laws that, you know, you don't know about. The things you think you know about divorce, you're wrong. And that's going to be on right around Valentine's Day here on CNBC. We're working on that hard. So that's a great example of something that we wouldn't focus on during the day because we're so market-driven. You can obviously see the money in the business angle, which is why you would see it on CNBC. But there's a lot of emotion and you know, a lot of really interesting stuff that we don't get to get into on a daily basis.
No, that is great. And we look forward to seeing that around Valentine's Day this year, Divorce Wars. We've been talking to Melissa Francis, everybody, co-anchor on The Call for CNBC. Melissa, the time just flies by. It has been an absolute delight having you. Now, if people like hearing what they hear from the sound of your voice and some of the specials that you're doing, where would you direct them to go to learn more about you, learn more about CNBC and your role there?
Oh, I would go to CNBC.com, and you can find my profile right there. You can also, I tweet Melissa at CNBC, and, you know, there's all kinds of ways to find more about me. Just Google me.
Google Melissa Francis, and you will find out everything that you need to know. Melissa, it has been a true delight. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy
Thank
the Brain.
Thank you. I hope you'll have me back.
Oh, absolutely. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay.
Take care.